back starting of this month, I mentioned about praying that we could get more people listening on the internet. And I would have been pleased with a 20% increase, just so in steady growth as we've been showing for some time. But we've got a week to go in this month, and God has increased it 100% what it was last month already. And, you know, like that song Daryl was singing, God still lives and reigns today. You and I, if we pray and ask something of the Lord, God stands ready to prove Himself to any that will even ask. And I was thinking this week, back years ago when I was in North Carolina preaching, living there around Low Gap, North Carolina, along 89, I never would have thought that there would come a time that I could have preached where messages would have been heard around the world. I'm sure it never entered my dad's mind, but yet we've got messages of his on the internet that's going around the world. He's dead and gone, but the Word of God still lives on. And you and I today, it makes no difference what the world might say, what the devil tries to do. We're not going to overcome the Word of God, because He said in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the 11th verse, His Word will accomplish that that He sent it to do. It's not going to return unto Him void, but it's going to go forth and accomplish that that God sent it to do. You and I today, God just waits for man to stand up and lift Him up. He's still able to work and to perform miracles if you and I only believe. I'm so thankful that God has not changed in the least. The thing that changed so much in our world today is the hearts and minds of men and women. You know, if America would only wake up and realize all the blessings that we have, all the great opportunities that God has given us here in America to serve Him, to live for Him. Oh, how we're cheating ourselves. What a shame it is for Americans to live so much beneath the standard that God wanted us to live by. You know, I was also thinking this way about the very men that started the Free Will Baptist. You too can read about their life. How much did they give? How much did they surrender of themselves that they might carry the gospel? The stand that they took, the persecution that they bore, yeah, for all of them, they didn't realize how long that it would go. And I'm sure today if they came back and it said it both on the Free Will Baptist Church, they'd be disappointed at what we become. We become that form of the flesh. We no longer want to have an emotional worship of the Lord. But I'm so thankful. God is an emotional God. He gives us something that we can feel, something we don't feel. God's no one to leave man wondering how worthy he exists or not. He stands ready. And I'm so thankful that our forefathers, they knew that. Any of you that reads a little bit about the life of Benjamin Randall, you'd come to feel ashamed of yourself when we have it so easy to what those people have. The way he traveled more carrying the gospel than a lot of men does in this day and time with all of our modern community. That's how much he loved God. Where is the love of God that we should have today? I wonder so much when we look at how God is blessed. Why there's such a few people that's really willing to dedicate themselves to God? Do we think that it don't matter? I could see some of those people again. Some that I went to church with when I was but a kid. D.L. Creed, Herman C. Creed, my father. They're dead and gone. The church even that they worshiped in has been torn down because of the highway. But those messages, they still ring in my ear. I can still hear Creed and you would sing the song when the Spirit of God got on it. I can still hear Herman pray and teach Sunday school. What a difference it made when God is first in our life. You and I, we bail for God whether it makes any difference. But God has it and he remembered each and every one that took their stand. And you and I today, we can be one that our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren will look back and remember the life that we live, or we can go through this life and leave them absolutely nothing. You know, there are very few people that I've met in my lifetime that has talked to me about money that somebody left them. But a lot of people has talked to me about a witness that somebody left them of how great God was, of a testimony, a life lived in front of them. That's what we can do that will last and will make a difference after we're gone. If you'd like to read with us in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and we've read this and preached upon it many times, and I don't know when was the last time, but it doesn't make any difference. I don't keep a record of that. That's not from me to do. It's not part of my job. God tells me to preach what he gives me, and that's all that I'm concerned about. But here in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, start with the 12th verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Then if you'll turn over into Proverbs, the 15th chapter, and the 11th verse, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Then if you'll go down into the 16th chapter, and the 2nd and 3rd verse, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, here in what we read to you there in Hebrews, you and I are going to have to do business with God sooner or later. And it makes no difference what we think about it. When we stand before God, we're going to be judged by the Word of God. And here in this last verse we read to you, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You and I today, if there's ever been a time that men and women need to come and commit themselves unto the Lord, it's today. And each and every one of us, we think a lot of times that we've got things here. We think that nobody is going to know. But yet God has let us know in that 11th verse there in the 15th chapter. God, he knows every thing that there is. It says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the heart of the children of men. You and I today, there is nothing that is hid from God. Even those in hell, when they lift their voice to cry out unto God, to try and find peace and comfort, God is aware that they know, but His voice, they will never hear again. They'll never get a prayer answer. You and I today is that chair. If we'll commit ourselves unto the Lord, God is there ready to use us as an instrument in His hand. His word, He said, it's not going to return void unto you. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It going out, it will be truthful. Preach the word. Be honest before God. That word, when it goes out, there's still people in the world today that wants to hear the truth. Today there's all kinds of people that if they had the opportunity that Americans have, they would love to be able to go and worship God, to go to church, to get on their knees and pray. But Americans, we have that freedom, and you go into most of the churches anymore, they don't ever get on their knees and pray. When they go to have a prayer, they'll stand. But I'm fine. You and I today, the higher our prayers go, it's the Lord we are on our knees before God. Even the Son of God, He went out in the garden and got down before His Heavenly Father and prayed. What did He say? He said, I know you hear me. I know you've always heard me. But yet He got down before His Father, bowed before Him and called upon Him. You and I today, it's so good. In all of our high-mindedness, we've lost touch with God. Not because God couldn't be reached, but because that we have not surrendered ourselves unto Him. We've not committed ourselves to God. You know, at the beginning of my message, I was mentioning there three men that when I was a kid was very big men in my eyes. I can remember seeing D.M. Creed work with a choir as they were practicing, because my mother was in the choir. So when choir practice come, us kids, we was all the church, and we sat down the pew, and we listened to it. And I can remember seeing Creed move from every bench, singing every part, working with them to get them to get it just right. I can remember going into his shoe cobbler shop there on the street of Mount Airy, North Carolina, to have the shoes that I would wear and had sold. Go in there, and he always had a songbook open. Had his machine making a racket, but he was always singing. No matter who it was that come in, they could hear Creed singing Hill. Why, God was important to joy. But then on Sunday morning, when he called his church to the Spirit come, everybody in the choir knew. Forget all that he told us. Just follow what he was doing. When the Spirit got on him, he could see the soul of whatever he felt like doing. And it was the best choir I ever heard. Why, because that was his word for the Lord. And he gave all that he had to it. That was every secret. But then come on from a revival. So hoarse that he could hardly talk. Come to church on Sunday morning. Got in the pulpit. Could not even be heard. And he said, you know, I can't breathe without the Lord taking the hand. He called upon Herman to pray. I can remember it. I was sitting over on the second bench on that side. acquainted with praying and did not doubt. Their life was committed unto God. And they believed in what they was asking of God. You and I today, we're going to have to do business with God. I would much rather do it with Him as Lord and Savior right here and now, when I can feel that Holy Spirit on the inside, when I can have one to walk with me, talk with me, hear and answer my prayer, one that I can call upon day or night and find I have that friend than anything I know. You and I, we either do that business with Him now, or when our life is over, we will be doing business with God as our judge. And you and I today, if we commit ourselves unto the Lord, you know, everything, listen to this again. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You and I, you know, when we commit all that we're doing, all that we are unto God, and we come before the Lord, you realize it makes every day of the week better. It makes when we are out on our job or wherever, when things are trying to go wrong, we have one we can call upon that can make it just smooth out. You know, you and I, we can listen to all the testimonies of people that's lived before, of what that they have accomplished for God. And that's all great. I want each and every one to know that God has done that in the past. But I'm so thankful that I can say it's not just in the past. God's able to do those things today. He's able to hear the answer. He's able to work miracles for us. And praying about the amount of people that's listening on the internet in 1 month's time can go up 100%. Whatever to them, when the devil says you're wasting your time, when we know that God hears, God answers, why listen to the argument that the devil tries to pray? If you know he's wrong, why pay any attention to it? Just dismiss it out loud. We have a God who's never failed, never lost a battle, never left us alone. Always said, when his ears open up, it will only live for Him. You and I today, if we want to know what it is to serve a true and a living God, get on your knees and pray to Him. Believe Him. You know, if you don't believe that something exists, you cannot pray a prayer of faith to God if you don't believe that He exists. You know, I heard, and I forget exactly how it goes, but I heard this week, I think it was, where a man was making the statement that he was making this statement to another man who was an atheist, and his way of thinking was, well, if God don't exist, I'm just not hurting myself by believing or trying to live for Him, because when I stand after death, if God don't exist, it ain't going to make any difference, and if He does, then I'll be all right. You know, that's not the way of faith. That's somebody trying to straddle the fence, not knowing. God says you can know. You know, I heard in the news the statement that the Venezuela president or whatever he's called, the leader of that country, what he said before the UN, And it riled anger inside of me to hear him talk about our president in such terms as that. And then to see the people clapping and, in other words, agreeing with what he was saying. And most of those that was doing that in their own country, they don't have the freedom to speak out like that in Venezuela. The people there don't have the freedom to speak out against their president as he was speaking against them. They'll come to this country, absorb the freedom that our government gives them, and yet down it at the same time. You and I today, when we try to do the same with God, we're trying to go and have the freedom of God over, and yet now the way of the Lord is not going to work. When we stand before God, God's going to call us to judgment for what was in our heart. And you and I today, we better make sure that our sin has been forgiven. You know, if I was president of the United States, and the UN tolerated and allowed such as that, and so many people clapping and showing their approval, I think I'd order a few battalion of armed forces up there around the UN and tell them they got just about 24 hours to get their stuff and get off our shores. We don't need the UN. It ain't doing us one dime's worth of good. It costs us a lot of money, and it's not doing us any good. But it's time today for America to turn back to that is our strength. That's done us good. That has proven itself, and that is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That's what our forefathers believed in. And we need to go back to that. Not worry about what the world might think about it if we don't embrace all the different religions of the world. It makes no difference. There is one God. There's one Savior, Jesus Christ. And all religions are going to come unto that. Or they're going to be cast into hell. Why? Because God's Word says it. Man has not been able to prove the King James Bible wrong. Man has not been able to prove that Christ didn't do exactly what he comes to do. Why? Because the evidence still lives and reigns. Christ is not there in that tomb where they put him. But he comes for victorious. And you and I today, he stands ready to forgive us and to save us. And if we, for whatever reason, choose not to believe that God's alive, that God is real, that Christ is our Savior, when we stand before God, we will wish that we had. You know, you've heard a whole lot about what the Pope said against the Muslims in quoting something that was wrote hundreds of years ago. And he was just quoting that, saying that wasn't his belief, that was just something that was wrote. And you know exactly what happened? They went out and proved that that writing that was so old was exactly true. That is not a religion of love. That is not a religion of compassion. It is hate-filled. It's murderous. And you and I, God said for us, if somebody comes up and they strike you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Christ, he called there as they was crucified him as he hung on the cross. Father, forgive him. You'll find Stephen. He had the love of God in his heart. Why? Because when they was turning, he was saying the same thing. Father, forgive him. You'll find Paul. That's exactly what that he told. He wasn't able. He wasn't vengeful towards those that in prison he was. Because he knew what was in their heart. He had been there. But he knew also what was in his heart now. It was love and forgiveness. You and I today, God His Son crucified, rose again to the whole world, that they might have a Savior, that no matter what kind of sin that they do, they have a Savior that loves them and is able to forgive them and to redeem them, that they might stand before Him pure and clean. If you and I commit ourselves unto the Lord, what a difference it can make. Surrendering all, come before God, ask Him for forgiveness. You know, the thing that's wrong with the world today, we can't see that we need Him. Listen in the 15th chapter of Proverbs, down the 31st verse. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You and I today, God is right there, ready. But we've got to come and recognize the wisdom that's in the Word of the Lord. You know, you'll hear people, they'll talk about how that the new versions of Bibles have come out, and they'll talk about the King James Version. Oh, it's one of the best books that's ever been as literature. But they don't want to accept it as the Word of God. You and I today, there's no truer book that's ever been written. There's nothing that we can put our faith and trust in as much as you can the Word of God. Everything else is changed. You know, the theory that man has on everything has changed. They'll tell you that Darwin's evolution is a fact. And they'll want to turn around and say creationism is just a theory. But they've got it backward. Man has not been able to prove evolution one little bit. It's never been a theory that some man divide that they follow. They think that maybe that could have happened. But when all is said and done, you've got to come back to the wisdom and the knowledge of all wise God and His creation. Why? Because He created things. There's a ball that a microscope can barely seal up the things so huge that the whole universe is contained inside of it. What is that? That's the power of God. God owns the life of that little tiny thing that's microscopic. Yet He holds the whole universe and all that's in it under His power. That do as He ordered it to. You and I today, why don't we tell God what He can do and what He can't? He still set the bounds. And you and I, we must come to it or be found guilty. While we get some song to sing, I beg you, realize that you are going to have to do business with God. You know, there's people in the world, they hate Jews. They want to kill every Jew they can find. They just hate them. They think that they shouldn't exist. You'll find Rand just says that Israel ought to be wiped off of the map. They should be done away with. And we will tolerate such speech as that in the world. And whether they like it or not, Christ was a Jew. And you and I, whether we like it or not, if we make it to heaven, we're going to humbly bow before Christ and confess that He is our Lord and Savior. I'm so thankful. I found it to be true. God said, those that bless Israel will be blessed. You and I, if you're ever feeling down and you need
to be lifted up. Start praying for that little country and see if you don't end up getting a blessing from God. God's word is true. You and I today, we can say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But that don't change the plan that when we care before it, we're going to be judged by it and find out that every word of it is true. And each one of us,
we will be doing business with God on that day by His terms, not ours. While we sing, will you come? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you totally surrendered unto God? Committed your life unto Him? You know, you and I today, the thing that's so wrong in the world, man just don't know how to commit to anything anymore. You know, I was hearing a report, and I think it's 3 out of every 5 marriages now ends in divorce. And why? Because men and women can't keep a commitment. They say till death do us part, but they mean until somebody else comes along that seems a little more interesting. That's the way we face everything. But God laid down His rules for us to be governed by, and He tells us exactly how we're going to be judged beforehand. If we will read the Word of God, there's not a situation that we face in life that we don't know what the answer is in the eyes of God. Why? He tells us in His Word. You and I today, let's come and listen unto what the Word of the Lord has to say. Be obedient unto it.